Aloha, my friends. I do thank you for joining us. You are tuned in to Shirley and Spinoza's final live webcast. This is the ROGC. We're rehashing from the past year's worth of shows. Well, a little bit more than a year. For the past chunk of time, we have been strutting through the time-space continuum with this bag of unfortunate angst strapped to our back here, en route to reveal the bad news to the king in the Henny Penny time machine. So, of course, if any of these boiled-down versions of shows pique your interest, go ahead and download them in their entirety. You can find all that in the archive. So, yes. Well, likely, if you're still with me, you're probably out there enjoying a fine romantic Sunday evening, probably with your mother, this being Mother's Day 2006. Or you're out there working on Monday morning's deliveries, hopefully with some romantic lighting. Well, I know the background isn't as romantic as it could be, and I think I can go ahead and fix that in a second. So, yeah, let's light a few candles here. Just find anything that is within arm's reach. Surely you've got your survival kit at your feet. Just go ahead and pull those out. We'll make sure we replace what we use tonight. It's an emergency, after all. This being the last show.
If the candles are getting low, I'll give you a few moments to run down to the kitchen and get some, anything flammable will do. Candles, flares, ex-hubby socks, crayons, pretty much anything that you need to set the mood. I'm all game here, and I'm with you for another while longer. I know some of you out there are probably more schedule-y challenged. Is that even a word? But you probably might have to go to bed and so forth. But I'm committed for those of you that are up burning the midnight oil as soon as you get the combustibles in effect, burning the midnight oil, I'll be here with you, rehashing some of the ROGC's past shows from the past year. And I don't know exactly what we have in store, but I do know that we have a word from the other side of the planet, where yours truly will be heading off, relocating, as it were, to bring you more audio. We have a word from a voice that you'll probably hear a little bit more often, or at least the effects of which you'll hear a little bit more often.
Incoming voice greeting.
Assalamualaikum, Amerika, Australia, your party dostlar. Men merhaba, örümçede sözlavatım. Sizlerin dostlarınlar sizlerini ayrılmakçı oldu. Ben bunu anlayıp şunda hepsizlendim. Lekin, en sırmanla, o her daim sizler bilen kompüterde uçuruşup durdu. Sizler hatırcan bulanla, kelgüsü de o büyedin sizlerge tekimicik Şincan'a dair müzika hem resimlerini köstüp durdu. Onu unutup kalmanla, her daim eslep durunla, kompüterde onu izlep durunla. Hayırlı hoş dostlar. Shirley and Spinoza'nı anlap durduğunlara rahmet edin. Teşekkür.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Bye bye.
Thank you. Well, farewell indeed. It's nice for me to join you, and for you to join me. Oh, wait a minute. I should know which faders control what by now. It's nice of you to join me this time around, this being the last incarnation, and we are here serving the last rites of the ROGC in Okistan, California. And we will be setting sail, so to speak. I guess more specifically that entails ditching the sandbags over the side of the craft here and letting the hot air balloon make its way to the other side of the planet so that we can reestablish our link to you. And if you are on our mailing list, I assume that you are, you'll
become privy to all the details so you can stay in touch. However, if you if you're not and you happen to just run into this by sheer chance, feel free to drop me a line at radio@compoundeye.org. That's radio@compoundeye.org. And, well, golly, hopefully we can make things right. I think we can get back underway. I don't know exactly what I have in store, as I said, because the titling of my file seems to be a little cryptic in this case. But, like most of the shows, allow Saint Serendipity to dictate exactly what you hear. I have no control, after all. I'm merely here polishing faders with a toothbrush. Enjoy. I think this is from... I don't know. October 16th. Church of the Lustful Frog.
Circulosa, rana aurora, rana berlandiere, acris crepitans, crepitans, acris, acris graelis dorsalis, bufo marinus, haila Andersoni, haila avivoca, haila chrysostelis, haila sineria. Feromalis gratiosa, haila squiriela, osteopilus septentrionalis.
When the word of the rana is spoken,
when the word of the rana is spoken,
when the call of the rana is sung,
when the call of the rana is sung,
remove
thy feet from thy waters.
For the lustful chorus has come.
For the lustful chorus has come.
Tuned in to none other than the Royal Oakland Gramophone Company here on Shirley and Spinoza. We're broadcasting from very far deep beneath the Okistan surface with a divine channel to the surface, the pond above. We are here with our congregation celebrating the first church of the Lustful Frog. Stay tuned.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs.
When you have big areas of temporary water, fresh water, the males will gather around the ponds and they'll call. And the call, of course, attracts the female. And it goes something like this.
La, 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 la. I suppose the female picks the best or the sweetest of those calls. And when she approaches close, the male will then grasp her into her plexus. And he does that by getting his forearms, which are not so very, very strong, and he pushes them into the side just under the ribs. The grip is very, very strong and firm. Of course, it's important that this grip be strong so that he doesn't fall off and so that other males too can't push him off. She takes him into the water and she exudes the eggs in long strands. And as they come out, the male releases sperm into the water, which then fertilizes the eggs. And these eggs are either wrapped around vegetation, but usually it's just left to float in the water. One cane-toed female can lay up to 40,000 eggs in a summer. That's a large number of eggs. The theory going that they need 40,000 just so two can survive to replace the female and the male. But if you see ponds where cane-toads have been breeding, more than two survive. The sides of the ponds are just black with young cane-toads. And from what I can see, a large number of those survive. The eggs stay in the water and then they start dividing. And eventually they start to look like small tadpoles within the egg sac. The tadpoles, when they get sufficiently developed, start wriggling and they rupture the egg sac and they go into the water as tadpoles.
Upon the hour of amplexus,
upon the hour of amplexus,
the holiest moments of love,
the holiest moments of love. Great care should not be forgotten.
For evils that lurk up above.
For evils that lurk up above. Amen.
Voices are very different in quality from those of the pig frog, Ranagrillo, which has internal vocal sacs.
It's the rhyme. So I was running around at night, and I actually hit one of these toads with my geology pick. And hence, it's all my fault what happened, but nevertheless, it's an unforgettable experience. The moment my pick hit the back of the toad was instantly dead. But I felt like somebody in turn had hit me right in the face with a baseball bat, or like a bee had stung me in the eyeball. It was the most excruciating pain. I'd been hit in the eye by the material jettisoned out of the gland of this toad. And it was fully about 6 hours before I could actually begin to see out of that eye again. It's a dreadfully incapacitating experience, and one I would not want to go through ever again.
Stop complaining, Jenny. It'll stop soon.
Recognizable as being that of Bufo punctatus. Differences also exist between isolated populations of the same species. Fowler's toad, Bufo woodhousey fowleri, for example, has one voice in Arkansas and a slightly different voice in North Carolina. This is the way it sounds at Little Rock, Arkansas.
In the water, God's gonna trouble the water. See that host dressed in white, God's gonna trouble the water. It looks like the children of the Israelite. God's gonna trouble the water. Come on and wade in the water. Wade in the water, children, wade in the water. My God's gonna trouble the water. See that host all dressed in red, he's gonna trouble the water. It looks like the children that Moses led. God's gonna trouble the water. Oh, wade in the water. Wade in the water, children. Wade in the water. My God's gonna trouble the water.
Gas trupiner carolines. Gas trupiner olivaseia. Scafiopus hunter. Spera bombi frontis. Zinopis.
I think it sounds like an ugly old toad.
Oh, I hate those things, and they make so much noise, just making everybody crazy.
Oh, nonsense, Jenny. You see many frogs along the shore, Mr. Smith?
Yes, sir, a few.
More than you'd consider usual?
I guess so, but sometimes they have a summer like this. Animals overpopulate. They'll die off by next year.
You sound like you might be an ecology expert, are you?
Yes, sir, to an extent.
You see, I have an impatient family. They can't wait till next year. How do they get rid of the frogs now?
Well, it seems like everyone in our family's hung up on frogs.
They really do keep us awake every night.
How do we get rid of them?
I have suggested pouring oil on the water to choke them off. That would help, wouldn't it, Mr. Smith?
Yeah, but you'd be killing a lot of other things at the same time.
Well, I can't sleep.
It's not the end of the world, Jenny.
Well, it seems so.
Several species breed simultaneously in the same pond. Voice plays an important role in the efforts of females to seek out the males of their own species. The individual voices of several frogs inhabiting the same area are readily distinguishable to human ears, as they probably are to the frogs. Suppose we take that mixed chorus of 11 species that were calling simultaneously in Highlands County, Florida, and dissect it, so to speak. Made up of numerous eastern narrow-mouthed toads, cricket frogs, vast numbers of tree frogs belonging to four species, three kinds of true frogs of the genus Rana, and a great many toads of two species. Some of the lower-pitched voices are completely obscured in the din of the entire chorus, and yet individually they're very distinctive. This is the call of the eastern narrow-mouthed toad, Microhyla carolinensis. Acris grillus dorsalis is the smallest species in the chorus.
An adult male toad was observed during amplexus with an adult female toad. At least three factors appeared quite unique about this situation. First, the female was dead and had been for some time. It appeared as if she had fallen victim to a car. The limbs were already stiff, abdomen greatly distended, and the smell of putrefaction about her. Secondly, of course, it appears strange that the male should be so intent as to fail to observe the female's condition. Thirdly, the time and place we encountered this pair was unusual. It was at 1400 hours on a sunny afternoon, but even more interesting was the location, the middle of the road. The sexual drive appears strong enough in these toads to explain his accepting her, but his continuance through a possible 8 hours of daylight seems rather strange.
Play King of the Law. Hey, Smith!
Not here.
Where is he? Michael, when you're through pounding, why don't you warm me up a little bit?
No. No, I don't want to.
Oh, come on! Come on. Just don't hurt me. The idea is to just step on that log, stay on it, put your left hand behind your back, like that, and that's all you have to do. Just like that.
Come on, Michael, get him.
Had enough. The boy's a loser.
Didn't your boyfriend get lost? Wish I could be so lucky.
How would you like to fight me for my log?
That's really not my kind of game.
What is your kind of game?
I don't think you'd dig it. It's a little slower than that, and, sophisticated.
Try me.
I'm not gonna be here that long.
Well, that's righty, my friends. You are tuned in. You are still here. Those of you that are hearing my voice right now, my very live voice. In fact, you're probably hearing... Wait a second. Anything that's coming out of my mouth now is probably no more than 10 seconds time delayed by the time you hear it. Kind of exciting, I know. You're tuned in to the Royal Oakland Gramophone Company's last rehash. I call it a rehash because we're opening up the time capsule here and playing back some of the shows from the past year. Some that I thought were a kind of enjoyable journeys myself. And if you didn't catch them first time around, then these are teasers for you to go ahead and download the archive form. Remember, you can go ahead and drop me a note at your leisure at radio@compoundeye.org. That's radio at compoundeye.org. And I'll be sure to address it in a timely manner, perhaps even on the air, if you are timely on your end. The live shows are ending after tonight, sad to say. However, all is not lost, because after today, and, well, maybe, to be fair, beginning the next couple of months, we will have downloadable programs being composed, compiled, and recorded exclusively on the other side of the planet by yours truly. And the regular day-to-day stream will continue in perpetuity. So, all right. Well, thanks for tuning in. I got some more lined up. And I think we'll be going to the Halloween episode in just a few moments. I hope you can deal.
Oh, you know, it's that time of year.
Happy trails.
To stroke my dorsal fin here, live on the radio. To go ahead and pull the plug on those frogs there, because I have absolute control from here in the studio. I don't know if I'll have absolute control out of the studio, but that's why I find myself in here on Sunday nights, to wield my power like a champ. Hopefully you are enjoying it out there, wherever you are in Radio Land. So we'll be going to the October 30th, 2005 Halloween show. Kind of spooky stuff, but perhaps there's something listenable all the same. I try to keep these
end games are
divided up into something interesting.
Prizes.
Okay, I'll go ahead and fade myself out. I'll be back with you in a bit.
Well,
it's a little bit more
I'm old.
Glue. This isn't the show, but enjoy.
Discovered check. How does that grab you, Caesar? Your move, Imperator.
Looks like the audio playing device had a mind of its own there for a moment. The in-house poltergeist doesn't want to be forgotten. And, well, I'm here seizing all the credit for this evening's program and the past year of programs, the past year of RGC programs. And I suppose I should give credit to Nermal, the in-house poltergeist. He's a little shy at the moment. As soon as I start mentioning his name, he doesn't want to come up to the mic. Fair enough. Okay, now for the Halloween boil down episode. Enjoy after this.
October 30th, 2005. Halloween Eve.
I see you've all made it. Another fine Sunday night here, and a lot of us are out here on the curb, trying not to make much of a commotion, but we're out here next to this pile of leaves, just listening to the wind blow, watching the trees sway.
You might be wondering why it is that I brought my grandfather clock out here. There's something about harnessing such unholy power for a radio show, and it makes the digital equipment not work properly, so I had to bring the old analog machine on out here. But that's neither here nor there, and we thank you for joining us this evening here on our Halloween-een special. That's the night before All Hallows' Eve, to give you enough time to prepare, put yourself into the zone, into the mood, get your feet where they need to be. Get yourself all wired up in your iPod, make it on out to the store, get your vinyl costume, your bed sheet, your latex masks, candied apples, razor blades, what have you.
We'll be right back.
we are going to present behind this curtain one of the strangest sights in all of the world today. Back here, you are going to see Kashmir Singh from Mysore, India, a little baby boy who was born with not one, but two complete heads. Four ears, four eyes, two noses, two mouths, two complete heads on just one body. When you see the strange little baby boy, he is someone you're going to talk about and remember for the rest of your life. You look at him with two eyes. That baby would look at you with one. Now, it's only going to take you a few minutes to see this strange two-headed baby, but it is something you will talk about and remember for the rest of your life. Everyone is invited now. The baby is on exhibition. You walk right in. He's on exhibition now. You see it as soon as you walk in. You will never forget this sight as long as you live. And remember, if you lose your head, come see us. He has two. For the old saying, two heads are better than one.
You don't see. As long as she ate the mouse, she can't see nor hear. She's like dead now. Sing.
I'm sorry to hear you aren't feeling well. It's only the mouse bite. You'd better have your legs tied down in case of convulsions.
Yes, I suppose so. There's always a chance it was rabbit.
If the music bothers you, let me know, and I'll have it stopped.
Oh, no. Please don't change the program on my account.
Try to sleep. We'll be waiting up on deck.
life, you meet hundreds of them. The high school principal, a bus driver, the druggist, an insurance salesman, the local mayor. All of them could be yours. Have you ever been driven mad by someone who just couldn't be your type? Longed for them at every moment? Responding to their every desire? And then, when they decided, it all stopped. Cold. Oh. Sometimes you can't seem to recall the face. Who was it? How do you know if a lover uses magic? Catherine de' Medici, Henry III, Poplio the Great, Queen Elizabeth of England, James VI of Scotland, were all suspected to be active in the art. The shape of witchcraft has been varied. As varied as the imagination and design of the personality involved dared. In fantasy, there's Snow White's beautiful but wicked queen stepmother with her poison apple. In reality, Joan of Arc. A dedication to a cause, ambitious drive, thirst for adventure, and celestial voices. They had little in common. And the two would never have felt to rapport with the mythical Medea, who, when scorned by Jason, gifted his younger love with a gown made of magical cloth that burned like fire. But how little remains to bind these women. It isn't too difficult to see the spirit decor that motivated them. But how can you tell who the enchanters are? Here's one way. Witches and wizards have a spontaneous interest in sexual situations. They're sensual and use it in their lust for power. And though not all the enchanters are promiscuous, all are successful with emotional seductions. And all make exciting lovers. If there is a strange light in the eyes, a subtle fragrance about the hair, and a warm vibration to the touch, you can be sure you've met a spellcaster.
Thank you. One of Friedrich Jürgensen's regular communicators was an entity he called the Old Jew. At one point in 1972, a number of Jürgensen's entities appeared on my tapes over the airband in Hull. I sent a tape to Jürgensen, but was ignored. It turned out that he was rather possessive about his voices. And at that time, I was an unknown experimenter. Here is the Old Jew congratulating me in the rather garbled style of the EVP. You're very ute and unsuccess. Polyglot. You're very English. Ute, a regional variation of the German gut. Und success. In other words, you are very successful. A guttural voice. A fluorescent light outside in the passage outside my office in Hull was faulty and would occasionally make a noise. A voice entity comments, "It's the Floresco," using a neologism. It's the Floresco. Now, carefully, with nerve gas. A voice from 1973, warning about nerve gas. Stockpiling by many powers, possibly terrorists. The later attack on the Tokyo Underground. The clandestine experimentation on British personnel at Portland Down. And Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction. All followed in the wake of this warning. Carefully, with nerve gas.
Mr. Manson, you are instructed to silence your
Thank you for joining us here on another Sunday night. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking we missed the mark. We missed the mark by one day. You silly listener. Don't you realize that the day before All Hallows' Eve is the most evil day of the year? You see, all the components are possessed to the point where I simply have no control. No control whatsoever. I sit back. The organ plays. The turntables scratch. The cassette decks squeal. And the microphones squeal like banshees. Yes, my friends, here in the catacombs, this is where evil is born. You see, it takes one day for evil to leave the catacombs and make its way to the surface, to where you mere mortals reside. Well, here we are. All the interns are gone. They've become spirits, gone into the hereafter, and have possessed all the components here. So, sorry about all the fuss. We do thank you for tuning in. And, yeah, keep your ears peeled. There might be a clue as to how we can make it on out and get to that secret cache of garlic and rosary beads and crucifixes and silver bullets.
His name is Mr. Soames, and he's just a baby. A 30-year-old baby in a coma since birth, suddenly awakened by a breakthrough brain operation. The mind of a child in the body of a man. Columbia Pictures presents Terrence Stamp and Robert Vaughn in the strange and shocking story of The Mind of Mr. Soames. Mr. Soames likes to play. He's very good at patty cake and teddy bear and felonious assault. Science can do the impossible, but can it control what it creates? Can this baby kill? Kill. It's incredible what goes on in the mind of Mr. Soames. In color, rated GP, all ages, parental guidance.
Oh,
Radio Internet.